hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. Recorded at a little ranch house on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas, show number 138. That's October 25th, 2005. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. The host for the show, well, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson.
All attired in his full Astros.
Wearing his Astros shirt, I might add.
That's correct. And cap.
Yeah, he even gave me one of those. That's my goodness, right. I'm going to put it on tonight when we're watching the ball game.
Well, I told you may want to save it till next year, but go ahead.
Don Shaw, he's in the house. Hi, Don.
Hey, Tom, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, just another blind handyman show here. By the way, my name is Tom Houston, but here he is, folks, the creator, the producer of the Blind Handyman Show, Phil Parr.
Why don't you put it on for us now, just kind of while we're on the air?
Well, it's
change
out in
your
truck.
Shirt.
It's out in my truck.
We'll send one of the helpers.
Elizabeth, could you go out and get this?
Kind of model that shirt for the audience.
Oh, wow.
For the audience here, your cap, a little nothing cap. You have that in the truck also?
No, I don't have a cap.
Oh, you didn't get a cap.
Patterson has a couple of caps. He's got a red and a black one.
I have the red and the black one. They will be wearing black tonight.
Oh, they will?
Yeah, because the White Sox will be in their dress uniforms, which are also black and white.
Oh, okay. We
have to wear our... Used to be that the road uniforms were the uglies, and the home team got to wear their pretty uniforms at home.
Uh-huh.
But then somebody said, no, we ought to fix it where the people at the home like can see the Astros, and they're pretty. So, like, we wore our red shirts up there. So
yeah.
When we come home, we're going to be in our pinstripes, and Chicago will probably have their black dress shoes.
I like our pinstripes. I think our pinstripes look
nice. I like our pinstripes,
nice.
Yeah. I cannot believe we ever had the rainbow shirts. That is the ugliest. That's got to be the ugliest.
I remember those. Yeah. They were bad. They were bad, bad, bad.
Well, Sean, do you have anything you want to talk to me about? These boys seem to be starting their own convention here.
Yeah.
It's a World Series time. It's very exciting.
First time ever in Texas, and to say I'm not excited would be true. I am excited. If they've got to win tonight. If they don't win tonight.
Yeah, they would need
I'm going to slit my beer keg open and hope for the best. Yeah.
But if you think about it, honest to goodness, that tonight at 7:05 or 7:20, I think with the networks controlling it, you start a little later. But anyway, whatever time we start, organized baseball has been in existence for 130-something years.
Yeah.
So for the first time ever, there's going to be a World Series game in Texas.
And the big question tonight is... Will the Astros open their roof or close the roof to the new stadium?
Well, they ought to open.
Boy, with this weather, they should.
Well, the commissioner's office has addressed that. And
they want to close it.
No, they say...
The Astros want to close it.
The Astros want to close it. Their players do. But the commissioner of baseball says, baseball owns the World Series, and we'll get back to you later. We'll tell you how the roof's going to be.
Really?
Which I thought was pretty crappy.
The reason we want the roof closed, Don Shaw... is because it makes a lot of noise. The home crowd wins a lot of games. We have the best, what did you say earlier, Pat?
The best home run game winning percentage in Major League Baseball, I think, especially after the All-Star game.
So we hope they let us close it tonight. If they'll let us close it tonight, we'll be in like a, never mind.
Yeah, in a junkyard.
That's really heavy crowd.
Almost came out.
Man, I thought you were Harry Kellett there for a second.
Well, I kind of drifted away there for a second.
But really, and they said, we own Major League, we own these World Series, and we'll tell you.
The debate was, how's it going to be? And the commissioner's office kind of sent down, you got all these little bureaucrats up there.
You do.
Yeah, they're just sitting up there in their suits,
Never been the outfield
probably,
in their lives.
Probably not. They're just sitting up there making these major decisions with their little pea brains and their big suits.
Well, it's interesting,
the White House.
That also came up about the game in Chicago that they thought may be rained out.
Yeah.
The commissioner was there, and all the president of both leagues was there, and the general managers from both teams. But in the end, after they made their decision, play ball, As soon as they say that and the first ball is pitched, the ruling then switches over to the umpires. And they could have immediately called the game.
Well,
that. Count of rain. That, I mean, that, after that, after they give it to the umpires, then they have no more ruling.
Exactly.
And so,
the umpires could say, open the roof.
Well, or it's creating a distraction. I wonder if they could. Yeah, you know.
Let me ask you this. They do not have a covered stadium in Chicago?
Do not.
No, no.
They're still playing at Wrigley Field?
That's the Astros' argument, by the way.
Yeah.
As the field, it was raining up there. It was cold. They're used to playing in it all the time.
Right.
We're not. We're used to playing indoors with a roof, like at the Astrodome, and now we've got the new Minute Maid Park, which you can close the roof on.
Yeah.
So that was their thing altogether.
Former Enron Field. It's not Minute Maid Park.
Well, there's a Cellular One Park in Chicago. You know, they used to be Kaminsky Park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, I remember Kaminsky.
Yeah. Ebbets Field. It's one of my favorites. Comerica Park. Where is that?
Comerica?
There's a new park called Comerica Park that one of the teams plays in. It's owned by Comerica Bank.
Comerica
Might be
Park.
The Angels.
Comerica Park. Anyway.
I'm not sure.
First ever World Series played in Texas. Has every other state had a World Series?
Well, except I guess the ones that have baseball teams. Yeah.
I guess there's not been one played in Louisiana.
well, you got to have the
Baton Rouge
thing.
Broncos or something.
Yeah. I believe every other. In fact, we're getting hard put to have teams that have never been. The Texas Rangers.
I've never been.
Have
I
never
think
been.
They may be the only. Well, in the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
I'm surprised George Bush didn't just buy a World Series when he owned the Rangers. Anyway, well, the doctor said, you know, he's the greatest surgeon in Texas. He took a horse's ass to a cowboy's hat, and now he's president of the United States. Anyway,
I thought they said that about Lyndon Johnson.
That was old, I think it's an old Lyndon Johnson joke.
Yeah,
could be. All right, it is.
No, actually, they said he had a whole transplant and it rejected him.
Moving right along here with list mail, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, guys. I'm replacing the pegs for the leaves of my antique table.
Uh-huh.
How tight should they be? Should I be able to tightly place them by hand, or should I need to tap them in with a hammer? Also, some of the holes have small cracks around them. I'm thinking of getting a glue syringe and filling the holes with wood glue. Is that the right thing to do? And is there anything I should know before buying wood glue?
I would tap them down with a mallet, and yes, on both, I would use wood glue for the dowels. Definitely put
The hole on the pegs go into should be smaller than the hole they slide into, shouldn't it? By millimeters.
Yeah. What about, though, what if you've got, like, leaves to the table? I mean, don't they need to be able to come out and go back in?
Yep.
Yeah, but I would agree with Don Shaw. You want to tap them into whatever the holding receptacle is.
Yeah,
because
okay.
when you pull the table apart, if you just put them in their hand, they're going to come
they're
out.
They're going to come
you're
out.
Be hunting.
You don't want the pegs to fall on the floor and Ozzy get them.
That's right. I would not glue... I would not glue that.
The pegs in there?
Well, I would put the peg in and then might put glue in the crack. I don't exactly know what that's going to do unless you put a clamp on it. But you don't want to glue the pegs in because you may want to replace them again. You know, they wear down eventually.
This guy was sitting in his easy chair watching reruns of MASH and went, I hadn't anything to do. I think I'll replace the pegs on my table.
Yeah.
What would prompt a guy?
Well, I was wondering the same thing. I just got rid of one of my mother's tables, and it had to be 65 or 70 years old, and the pegs were still all there and worked fine because I had to grunt like a mad engine to get them apart. You know?
Yeah, but I'd fill the hole with glue and stick the peg in there and tap it down and hope for the best.
Oh, sounds good to me.
Yeah, did Dale Evans answer? Dale Evans would have a wonderful answer to that. It would be long and involved. Did he? Or did you get it?
I don't know. Okay. But I believe he did comment.
Did anybody else answer that?
There were several that
answered. Well, because we certainly haven't.
I didn't copy it. I didn't copy it. I thought we would do our little handyman touch to it here. Anyway, Jennifer, I hope we helped you out a little bit.
I doubt it.
Next, anyone have any tips on removing drywall? I'm doing a remodeling project. I need to remove the drywall on one wall in order to add some insulation and add some electrical outlets. I don't want to damage the ceiling drywall. Let's see. I need to go to the next page. Any tips? Appreciated. Sean.
Well, I'd make a cut down an inch or so or an inch or two from the ceiling all the way across with a with something, a sheetrock knife or box cutter or something.
Sheetrock knife would be nice.
Sure.
Cut right across there and then go remove that after you got the rest of the wall down.
Well, I would actually go in the corner seam up at the ceiling because the ceiling is normally put up first and then the wall goes up against it. So in that corner, if you'll cut in that corner at like about a 45-degree angle, you're going to cut the tape. That's all it's messy. There's no easy way. You're not going to get it off in big pieces because in the walls after you cut that top seam because they put nails in sheetrock about every 15 or 18 or 24 inches.
But you know, so the sheetrock is pretty good insulation itself. I'd put another piece of sheetrock up or put another piece of paneling up.
Well, he wants to put insulation in the walls.
Okay. All right.
But, boy, that it's going to be one messy.
Yeah,
it's
just on that wall, just prepare for that. But if you do it right, if you're prepared to do a lot of cutting, you could cut out all of the in-between the studs, but then you're still going to have the little 3-inch strips that you're basically going to have to knock off. And I mean, you're going to have powder and cardboard.
Oh, yeah. You need to get everything out of that room before you start this project because in the carpet... If there's any carpet in that room, you're going to ruin it. There's no nice way to do it. I mean, there's, you know, because it's going to be, no matter what you do, there's going to be flakes and powder.
If you knew how the sheetrock was hung, eventually, in other words, you could start at the ceiling and measure down 4 feet, take a quarter of an inch, or add a quarter of, well, no, 4 feet. If they hung the sheetrock horizontally and you could find that seam, you could cut in between the two, and then you could knock some little holes in the bottom sheet, and you may theoretically be able to pull off the top sheet. But a lot of people have hung sheetrock vertically. You know,
I thought that's the only way you hung it.
No, you hung it horizontally. Anymore, they hang it, you know, the long piece going side to side.
I got you.
Put the seam in the middle.
I didn't realize that.
And so, it's just going to be messy.
Seams went up and down.
It's going to be messy.
They don't go.
Well, there would be some where two pieces met that way, but anymore they hang it. You know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've changed that from the old day. Didn't they hang it vertically in the old days? Pretty much.
I thought they always did.
Well, I think I did. I tried it one time, but actually, I think I was the oddball.
I think in Grangerland you did.
I did mine vertically.
Yeah, vertically.
But normally, I think they go side to side. It's quicker.
It would be
quicker, I suppose, but you'd have to find that seam, scrape the spackling off of it, and find that tape, and then you, man, I don't do this.
It's going to be a bad job.
It's going to be a terrible, nasty, you know, unless you're doing it, the only way to do it would be do it in a garage. Of course, if you've got the room completely empty and the floor is concrete and somebody's there to clean up, I'd punch a hole in it and go to work. You know?
Sounds like good advice to me.
What else could you do? I know you can run your hand through a sheetrock wall because I've done it back when I was young and stupid. Now I'm old and stupid.
Okay, here's another. Hi, all. My brother and I have tried several times to fix the drip in his kitchen faucet. Well, after having no success, we decided to replace the faucets. Now, this should have been an uneventful venture. Turns out, we can't get the old faucets taken off because the water pipes under the sink are all brazed together. If we force the faucets up, the brazed connection will be pulled apart.
Yeah.
We thought of disconnecting the copper pipes at the cutoff valve and going back with a new pipe, but the copper pipes also have a brazed connection going to the dishwasher. Seems we will have to redo the entire works, but don't know how to get to the dishwasher's water connection, as it is on the other side of the dishwasher from the water connections, and we can't reach them. Can anyone help with this dilemma?
Man, when you start these things, you just start fooling with old plumbing.
Yeah,
you don't know what. Have we ever told the story of the commode you were going to fix for Danny? Patterson.
No.
Have we ever told that story?
Plumbing project.
Our friend Danny Derringer in Houston, Texas, who we both know and love. Danny was having a problem with his commode, and Don said, I'll change it on Friday afternoon, and we'll go drink beer.
30 minutes. 30 minutes.
No big deal, huh?
Tops. 30 minutes.
Go ahead. So, Sunday evening, late, I was still there under the house. We had gotten in the boats that you couldn't get out, and then when you got them out, the flange, I got one boat out, and I could not get the other one out, because I didn't have cutting torches at the time. And finally, I mean, I just wound up calling a real plumber and paying for it myself since I had volunteered to do the job for free. I was embarrassed. And the guy, you know, brought over his torches. And we were dealing with old cast iron pipe. And I think where they put, you put the rope packing in there and then the lead. And that I had pulled a joint of that loose. Plus the floor was rotted. I don't think we ever fixed that. I mean, I had a permanent. We may have covered that with linoleum. It was a rent house anyway. But don't do it.
Don't you get into this old cast iron plumbing. The best, probably the best thing to do, if I was going to do this, stop me when I'm wrong, okay? You know what I'd do? I'd get a pipe cutter, cut it loose, and then figure on putting a metal joint on the end of a piece of PVC pipe.
My only problem is I can't imagine that all of the joints are soldered going completely to the hydrants. I mean, they've got to, you know, if this passed any kind of inspection, they have to put in those little valves, then you ought to have little stems going up to your faucet from your cutoff valves. Now, in the event there are no cutoff valves,
you're in trouble.
Well, I mean, I just don't see how they brazed the hydrants to the... But you could cut that copper, too, depending on how big a copper it is. I mean, I don't know. And then use, you know, they make ferrules and things that you can buy. You can buy solderless connectors.
That you put down on the copper pipe, and it'll flare it for you, and it'll tighten right up.
That's for copper, but I've never seen everything brazed without some breakable.
Right above that valve, that cutoff valve. If there isn't a cutoff valve, you're in trouble. Right above that cutoff valve, there's a nut. There's got to be.
Well, and in the dishwasher, there would have to be. And if it's on the other side, then that pipe went around behind that. So you may pull your dishwasher out with not a lot of trouble. I mean, you'd take two screws.
They're really just kind of sitting in there.
Hold two screws up under your countertop.
We'll do it.
And you could roll it out and maybe get. But I don't see how taking that loose is going to help you with the faucet.
You're going to have to tie onto there anyway. But you know, that. Let me just say one more thing. They make a tool, and I have one, but I haven't seen it in a long time. Don Shaw, you barred it one time, that will reach up under there and grab that nut that's right below the sink. Because you can't get a pair of pliers on it. But I have a long tool that will reach up, and if you know which way, if you can remember righty-tighty and lefty-loosey, pointing straight up, and you put this tool on it right, it will grab that nut, and I guarantee it will take that nut off, and you can change those faucets.
Yep.
But if you're in cast iron pipe, you're fixing to get into a mess. I got a house I'm trying to sell right now that's got cast iron
pipe.
Oh my God, I got to sell.
You know, and there's a time when I was younger, I helped put the packing in the lead. I've heated lead.
I've never seen that.
I could not do that now to save my soul.
I've never seen that kind of pipe.
I mean,
that's how they put joints together.
Yeah, they have there's a rope like or a flat kind of packing. You stuff down in there, and then you actually pour hot lead in there.
Cool.
You lead that joint.
Not good.
No wonder plumbers charge $87.50 now.
Lead poisoning and all.
Poisoning and all. That's not good. Man. You know, surely they're not into that. I've never seen that, Don.
I haven't seen one of those.
Maybe after the first of the year, we'll do one of those. Let's take a break. And our guest is one of our very favorite people that we've come to know from the Blind Handyman Show. Works at Carnegie Mellon University. Very intelligent. He's going to tell us about this car they drove across the United States without a driver. His name is Dan Rossi. So we'll be back in just a minute with more of the exciting Blind Handyman Show.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I have
found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the handyman list. And it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping their big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
That would be me, right? I'm Phil Parr. It's a guy with the old guy, gray-headed guy with the bald spot on top. He said, that's Phil.
And the earphones on.
And the earphones on. That's Phil Parr. And this is, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Rossi. How are you, sir?
All right, sir. How are you doing?
Good to have you with us. Glad you came along.
You guys obviously must have been pretty desperate to call me on to Handyman Show.
Why is that?
New homeowner.
Well, no. We've read some of your posts about dropping cable through the basement and then going down there and finding out there was one already there.
That's right.
It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
That was good, yeah.
It was excellent.
It was.
Yeah, it's been kind of fun. I haven't been all that handy before, even though I have a degree in mechanical engineering. I'm supposed to be handy, but it doesn't always work out that way. I know the theory, and now trying to put some of that theory to use has been kind of fun.
It's been fun. You bought a house.
Yeah.
I think we were in on the long search that you went through.
I was looking for a place, and it was, I had pretty tight restrictions on where I wanted to be location wise.
Well, sure.
Didn't want to be able to walk to work and walk to all the grocery stores and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, location, location, location.
Yeah, that's it. It's the same thing as when a guy shoots you. It's, location, location, location.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of deal. But you wanted to be on the bus line or a walk line where you could, the streets you could cross. And so your search was pretty tight, but you found the house, the home of your dreams. Wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I wouldn't know if it's the home of my dreams, but it's a nice place. It's small, and it's terribly inaccessible if you want to actually get anything to the house. So you have to go up four flights of steps to get to the courtyard.
It's a
townhouse built around there's about 20 of these townhouses on this courtyard, and the courtyard is way up on this hill in the middle of the block, so that we're surrounded on all sides by other buildings.
Well, did you have furniture that you had to get someone to bring up there?
Oh, yes. I had some very cranky moving guys.
I bet.
They, four guys, and they carried it all up these four flights of steps.
Yeah, you said cranky moving guys. I think that's a requirement for moving guys, isn't it? They asked him in the test, "Are you cranky?"
They actually did a great job. I was really impressed. They moved me in quickly and they got everything up there. And it was a brutally hot day. But they did a great job.
They earned their money on that.
Okay, but everything's in. So now it's time to start looking at door locks and leaky faucets and furnaces that don't come on and cable connections and now it's time to start doing all the things that you do when you buy a house.
Yep.
All those. Well, just give us a, sort of a rundown on what so far. Do we have time?
I haven't done, I mean, there's so many things I want to do, but luckily the place was pretty move-in quality. There was nothing I had to do when I moved in.
All right.
There was a lot of stuff I wanted to do.
Well, all right, tell us, because everybody didn't have a computer, didn't see this. Tell us the all weekend long cable drop story. It's funny. It's cool.
It started out as just one of these weekends where I wanted to get some stuff done. And it started out with changing the garbage disposal. So we had a garbage disposal that it kind of pulverized stuff, but it didn't really get rid of anything. You'd drop stuff into the garbage disposal, it would kind of grind it up, and then you had to dig it out of there with your hand.
Not good. Yeah. No fun.
So I went out and got a new garbage disposal and dropped the old one out pretty easily, and I got the same brand of garbage disposal and incinerator, hoping that everything would go together just as smoothly as it came apart. And got the new one hung, got it wired, and went to hook up the drain stack.
Yes.
It didn't quite fit.
Quite line up.
So, the elbow coming out of there didn't reach, and the old flange and the new flange were different, and so I couldn't swap them out, and so I was getting frustrated, and I figured, all right, well, I could just go up to the hardware store, pick up a couple of pieces, and I'll be done.
Yeah.
Walk up to the hardware store is closed.
Oh, man.
All right, so I'll just get my girlfriend to drive me over to the other big hardware store. And it's only like 10 minutes away, so about 40 minutes later, after battling through traffic, we got there. My girlfriend shows me to where some of the plumbing supplies are, and I'm groping through all the shelves, and I can't find the pieces I'm looking for. And I'm telling her, there's got to be another section. No, this is it. No, it's really got to be another place. This can't be all the pieces. Finally, a guy comes over, can I help you? And I kind of wave the parts at him. I was like, I want to build this. He's like, oh, yeah, just follow me. He takes me over to another section, hands me like the three or four parts I need, get home, glue it up, and get it hooked on, and it was done. Of course, I mean, it was one of these things, like I've been, many people told me with plumbing, it'll start out looking easy, take you about 20 minutes to do, and then 2 hours, 3 hours later, you'll be done.
We've already told that story. Don told a story about fixing his French commode, started on Friday, and they were still there on Sunday, and called the plumber on Monday morning. you made the mistake of going to one of the big places.
Right.
Which it's really, they're really difficult for blind people to.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what Linda Jetta says. They're hard for blind people to. You just need to get somebody. Just get somebody initially to wait on
right.
you. And half the time they don't know. They're like kids that work at Radio Shack. Same caliber.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got that done.
They got that done, and my girlfriend started making dinner, and so I decided I'd run this cable. The cable drop into the house was on one side of the living room, and I wanted the TV over on the other side of the living room.
Okay.
So I figured I'll just drill a hole in the floor, run the cable down where it came in and across the basement, and then drill a hole in the floor on the other side of the living room,
bring it back up. Yeah.
No problem. So I start to, pull back the carpet in the corner to drill the hole, and I'm like, let me first go down and see where I'm going to run this cable and everything. So I'm groping around up in the rafters looking for the spot where I'm going to come down. And my girlfriend is in the basement with me, and she says, hey, what's this cable? What cable?
Oh.
This one over here. There's this whole coil of cable that's already in the basement ready to go. I'm like, oh, perfect. ended up saving me some.
But I thought you'd already drilled the hole in the floor.
I drilled the one hole, but I didn't drill them both. So I actually was able to kind of cover up the one hole.
The one hole that you drilled, so when you sell the condo, maybe they won't go, all right.
Keep the carpet over it. It'll be fine.
It'll be a little throw rug or something. Yeah.
So part of what was delaying that, one of the reasons why I ended up going into the basement was because I, of course, pulled out my cordless drill and you know, started drilling the hole.
And it wasn't charged.
And it wasn't charged, and yeah, exactly. So I had to wait for that to charge up.
Yeah.
And of course, the cable that we found in the basement was also on the outside wall, so I still needed to run it over, and it was, of course,
not quite long enough.
Exactly.
And so you had to add a piece.
So yeah, so I had to, you know, dig up a cable and then go out, and of course then I couldn't finish that day because I didn't have all the connectors.
Yeah. You didn't have the one to connect those two. On cables they put male ends on each end, and you have to have a little female connector with two females on it that'll join them together, and you didn't have that.
Of course.
Run the Radio Shack.
Exactly.
This one
I figured, I went to work the next day, and a buddy of mine, I was complaining to him in the morning about it, and he says, hey, I got all the parts you need. I got the crimper, I got an extra piece of cable, I got the connectors.
Yeah.
So I went back home and kind of ran all the cable, and of course the TV didn't work, and I don't know what was going on. I think my VCR was screwed up for a while, and so there were a couple of episodes of taking cables in and out, and because I thought maybe I had a bad cable, so I reran a new cable, and no project ever.
Yeah, that's just.
It was great. I wish we had. I think I put it in one of in a file to read later.
Yeah.
But it was typical things you get into that when you start projects that you think are going to take 15-20 minutes. They always
just never. I'm finding that one after another. And that's why I'm like kind of nervous to start any of the bigger projects.
Like what?
One is it's an old house. It's 80 years old. And one of the odd things about it, it has these big closets in the bedrooms. But if you imagine a closet that's, you know, maybe 3 feet deep and 6 feet wide.
Okay.
Now, on the 6 foot wide wall, which is the, you know, bedroom wall.
The long wall, yeah.
Yeah. Put a door all the way at one end of that. You know, a regular 28-inch wide door.
Okay.
So now you can hang stuff right in front of the door, but anything all the way to the right or, you know, left of the door
is inaccessible.
Fall inside the closet to get at it. So it's kind of inconvenient, and so I've had this concept that I'm going to tear down part of the wall and put in sliding doors so that you can get to the whole width of the closet.
Oh, man.
But tearing down a wall is big and messy.
Messy. We just talked about
it,
that.
And it's going to be. Is this sheetrock or paneling or what is it?
It's the worst of the worst. It's plaster and lath. Mm.
You need to hire somebody to do that.
Yeah. What a messy project.
That's going to be an awful bad project. So you just need to remember put the winter clothes in one end and then switch them every season.
Well, that's about it, you know. And I'm afraid to put any boxes, you know, kind of on the floor to one side because once they go to the right of the door, they're gone forever. You'll never see them.
No, you'll never see them again. There are bodies back there.
Exactly.
That you'll never.
One simple solution. I mean, seriously, you talk about cutting a hole. You know, for a standard sliding door, or the bifolds is 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of doing that, go down to about the equivalent end is from the other end as far as this door is, and cut a hole just to fit a 2/8 door.
Yeah, that's one of the other ideas.
Because if you got in that 2/8 door, you could reach halfway across that closet.
Exactly.
You know, so if you had the other one down there, and it may not take up your whole wall.
That would probably be a better solution than trying to cut the middle of the wall out and cover up the door.
Of course, we don't know how many wall plugs they have in electric.
Or you could put some, just take the rod, because you've got a rod hanging there.
Right.
That's just take that rod down and run some rods crossways in the closet and put some clothes that in where you can walk by. I mean, put a few clothes.
Yeah.
Or
I guess now's the time for the Lazy Susan clothes.
They make closets like that. My rent house that I'm trying to sell desperately has a closet like that. The damn thing is 8 feet long with a little door at one end.
Right.
But what if you had this rack that moved? You know, you could just slide your clothes around it like on a trolley.
The big Lazy Susan rack.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably deep enough that I could probably get away with that, too.
Yeah. Or the other solution would be to cut a trap door to the basement in the bottom of the closet and run a staircase up from the basement.
Oh, for God.
You talk
then
about
you could,
a roundabout
then you
way
could
to...
run your cable and your... your
you know, this is what I need you guys.
One
I need to make my handy jobs even bigger.
There once was a lady... There once was a lady from Norway who hung by her heels from the doorway to her husband, Fred. She said, get out of bed. I think I've discovered one more way. Same kind of thing. You could drop down into the closet from the second. Good God.
From the attic.
From the attic.
So it's there's a couple of projects like that, and one of the interesting things is it's not a big house. It's 15 feet wide and about 30 odd feet long, and there's two floors. And so I've been told that there are actually no supporting walls. Neither of the walls on the main floor are supporting. And so people in other townhouses have taken down either of those walls. There's a kitchen wall, a wall separating the kitchen from the dining room and a wall separating the dining room from the living room. And so at some point I might consider taking down at least one of those walls. And but that's, you know, now you're talking about redoing the whole kitchen.
So this house is only... You said 15 by 30? 15
about,
by?
Yep, it's about 450 square feet, about 460 square feet per floor. You know, so it's a total of about 930 square foot house. Mm-hmm.
So this girl knows you're not going to marry her because there's not enough room for both of you.
I bought the house about, I don't know, within a week of having met her. So,
yeah.
You know, the deal was going through. And it's a great little place, definitely a good starter home.
Now I heard, and you can just say I don't want to talk about that if you don't want to talk about it. I heard there was a story about meeting her that's worth telling.
About meeting her.
Did you meet her online or?
Oh yeah. I used eharmony.com and so we eharmonized. And it worked really well, you know. I mean, I went and filled out the whole... the eHarmony thing is just brutal because it's several hundred questions.
Yeah.
And you have to fill out this whole... It's a psychological profile thing. And then, you know,
really?
Start sending you people, and then you have to email them. But I was getting shot down, like, left and right before I even got a chance to email anybody because I put right in my profile that I was blind and I wasn't going to hide that fact.
No, no point in it.
Yeah.
No, sir. There's no point in doing that. No.
I would have tried to hide it, Dan. I would have.
Well, when he stepped off the bridge, that she'd know, right? No, I believe in people doing up front. And so you put that up front, and you were getting shut. They wouldn't take your emails.
I mean, that, you know, they would just close it out before we even got to the point where we would email each other because it's kind of a you have to do a bunch of stuff, like where you share some questions back and forth. It's very anonymous. You don't know who each other are. You don't have email addresses for each other until after you get a few levels into it. But Teresa, responded to my questions, and we hit it off pretty well. And so far...
So the blindness thing passed. It didn't,
Well, that's neat, Dan, because in reality, you know, the ones who didn't respond, if you had met them in the real world,
exactly.
They wouldn't have responded.
They wouldn't have. You know, that's right. You don't want some woman that can't handle a blind person.
Yeah, exactly. And Teresa's done. She's done great. She's been really helpful with working on the house because I've been digging up my yard, trying to prepare the ground for planting a vegetable garden next year. And apparently I live on a coal seam because we've been digging up the yard, and there is very little soil, and it's mostly rock, and most of the rock is coal.
Where are you located, Dan?
I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not a surprise. We actually have coal fires that burn underground for years.
I was going to say, there's, you know, like coal would be a surprise to you. You know, my God, that's all that's up there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I built a sifter because I figured I had to sift out some of the soil because nothing was going to grow in it. And so I built a sifter out of 2x4s and chicken wire. And I quickly learned that cutting 2x4s by hand, you know, just propped up on a bag of soil, isn't really the way to go.
It's difficult.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing.
I had I had bevels and miters and maybe even a curve in there. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And I nailed together these 2x4s and stapled some chicken wire on and started sifting out some of the dirt. And it's just backbreaking work. You know, you shovel a few scoopfuls in there, and you kind of rake it back and forth to get the soil to pass through. And
you folks don't have a Randall's or a Walmart up there that you can just go down and buy vegetables?
I mean, why don't you get a cow? The whole reason I bought the house was so I could have a grill and a garden.
Well, the grill I can see, but
how about a raised garden?
I could tell you about the soil deal, too, and it's really disappointing. I mean, 2 years ago or a year and a half, almost two, my wife and I moved into our new house. And there's no great coal mining going on and all that. And everybody else has green lawns and trees and stuff. And we moved out in this nice place. Everybody has about 3 to 4 acres. And so the builder comes in and he puts down his clay and stuff for his pad to pour the slab and then blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so then I spend $3,000 for grass that I put down every square of myself. And it all died. Everybody was going, well, it's chinch bugs. Oh, it's just got a bug. And one guy that's lived here all his life came out here and said, no, it's this crappy soil. Mm. We have all clay. Just all muddy clay.
Oh,
so in a sense, I have raised my backyard about a foot, and I put in pure sand. And now I'm getting the prettiest grass ever, but like you said, it's back-breaking.
Brother Sean brought up the best idea yet, which is what I'm going to do. And I'm actually, this winter, I think we're actually going to do it. And that is a raised garden. Build a box. We're going to build our 16 feet long and 4 feet across and put a bench on each side and build a raised garden that you could build the box and then you could pour the kind of soil in it you wanted from the store, and then you could reach all the peppers and you wouldn't get confused with walking, going down and, oh, my God, I think I've stepped on a tomato, Margaret.
The Japanese started micro-gardening. And the best produce I've ever had in my life, I built an 8x8 square raised garden right there in Tomball, Shaw.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I had cucumbers that got outside the boundaries of the garden. And so I would pick up the vines and mow the grass and lay them back down. I had cucumbers running all over the front yard.
You don't like cucumbers?
Yeah, you know, I love them.
Oh.
Tomatoes and bell peppers and squash.
Well, I think that's what we're going to do. Yeah. That would keep the vermin out of the garden, and you wouldn't have to bend over, and you could reach and know exactly where everything was. That's your answer, Dan?
I've done something similar. So I have a ground level deck, and there was the deck is about 24. You know, it's about 2 feet away from the house.
Uh-huh.
And so I had dug out some of the dirt there, maybe about 8 inches below, and sifted it and filled it back in. And then I filled that in with all the way to the top edge of the deck with soil that I had to carry up by the bag full on my back.
Up
4 flights of steps.
Yeah.
And so I do have really good soil in there now, and it's kind of at the level of the deck. So and it's only 24 inches wide. So
well, that'll be fine.
Yeah.
The good thing about it is you'll be able, once you plant, you could actually put some little border things between.
Right.
If you planted peppers on the left, and you could then you'll know where everything is.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is I think much better than trying, you know, be out in somebody's garden and you're stepping on their banana plants or crap.
Teresa's dad has a huge garden, and I'm afraid to go near it because it's just
you'll crush something. Well, that's what we're going to do that this winter. Now that it's finally, we had 38 degree weather this morning in Texas.
Wow,
we went from 98 to 38 just in about 4 days.
Wow.
That's the plan, is to do this little courtyard out by the new building.
Yeah,
out by the driveway there. We're going to build a little raised garden
area.
And raise
kumquats. When you say raised, is it is it just raised by like?
Nope. This is waist level. Waist level garden. This is so I don't, because I can't bend over anymore. I'm old.
Well, I can say the Emily Zach's neighbor, when she lived on over there in Brook Hollow, Dr. Willis lived behind her, and he grows roses, and his beds are like 5 or 6 garden timbers high. And he just walks in between his, and he has the most beautiful roses in the world. I mean, yellow ones, any kind of rose you want. And he grows them in about a 3 foot wide bed.
Made of landscape timbers.
Yeah, and with the prime soil. I mean,
see, that was one of my questions.
Yeah.
We're
going
to have to build this out of treated wood or it won't last a year. Will that treated wood, will the, whatever there is in that treated wood, end up in the kumquats?
Boy, I would think about
no,
that.
But,
I was worrying the same thing with my deck, and then I actually extended that area just using a 2x10 further out. And I put a layer of plastic up against the wood.
That's probably the deal.
Yeah.
But the treated lumber's not your problem. It's going to be the cow poop you put on your veggies. That's to fertilize them. That's going to get you.
Yeah. Where do you buy good cow poop these days?
Well, you could just probably go collect.
No, I've got some. I've got people down in the country that have cows. They'd probably love me enough. They'd probably. Hoist up and back. All right, Daniel, what else, besides cutting doors and walls and doors, the stairs are fine.
Yeah.
Bedrooms are upstairs, kitchen and living room downstairs.
Yep. One of the big things that I daydream about a lot is the house is, you know, the basement is only partially submerged. So I actually have windows in the basement that are above ground level.
I got you.
And so the main floor of the house is maybe 6 feet above ground level.
Okay.
And so I've been thinking I would really like to build a deck. Right now my deck is ground level outside, so you have to walk out the door and then down some steps. I'd really like to build the deck level with the main floor so that you can walk directly out from the dining room onto the deck.
Man, that is so doable.
Yeah, I know it is, and I keep thinking about it.
But you're going to have to buy, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to buy a chop saw.
Oh, without a doubt.
I borrowed one
from a neighbor after my first experience. When I built my second sifter, the new and improved sifter, mm-hmm. which I built out of 2x6s,
mm-hmm.
I borrowed a chop saw, and it's beautiful.
Just, I mean, it'll cut through a 2x6 like a stick of butter.
You've got to buy
a nail gun, too, Dan.
If you're going to do this, but then if with a nail gun, you've got to have a compressor, and that's the only thing. You might rent.
This is how the fun really begins, right?
Then
you got to have the nail gun. If you've got to have a nail gun,
hold
you've got to have the compressor.
You've got this basement. You have this great basement for kind of a little wood shop down there.
Yeah, you bet. That's the plan.
Oh, Dan, I wish I was there to help. Certainly glad I'm not. I'll be in my chair reading if you need me.
Well, I'll certainly be asking lots and lots of questions as I think about designs for the deck. And then once it's built, everybody's welcome up for a kegger.
Boy, if you ask a question about building a deck on that list, you'd get 75 answers. And, of course, 50 of them would be from Dale Levins. But, no, I love him. He's a wonderful guy. And he's a very sharp fellow. Listen to everything he says.
He is. Yeah. He's a very knowledgeable guy. Yeah. But a lot of people are on that list.
Yeah, there's lots of good folks on that list and lots of folks that just know way more than they ought to be doing this show. We shouldn't be doing it. They should be.
It's great that you have the show and that you know there are people like that who can call in and give some good advice.
Exchange ideas.
And remember this, Dan. You were talking about the fact that you had paid down on the house before you had met Teresa.
Uh-huh.
And some of us have been through certain things in our lives. It's easier to get a new girlfriend than it is a new house. So just keep that.
Well, I pointed out to my wife a few years ago that I built this building, paid it with my money of the house I sold. I bought this, paid for this building in my house, and she said, "Yeah, but you built it on my property."
That's the catch, huh?
Be careful as you go. Remember, the highways are fraught with marauders. Be careful. Dan Rossi, one of our favorite people. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you, guys.
And I'll talk to you in a day or two.
Sounds great.
All right, we'll do more of the Blind Handyman Show in just a second. Hang on.
Where the pharmacy is, it's somewhere over.
over here. Oh, God, I've got my can caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your can is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is BlindMySmart.com. Again, that's www.BlindMySmart.com. Do you know about the Blind Handyman List, sir?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
Man, Dan Rossi is getting some of those great homeowner experiences.
Which we all need if you're going to buy a house.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Yeah, didn't even talk about that. Of course, you and I go around the first night and fix all the door locks. I know what you do.
Yeah.
Make sure all the doors close right.
Yeah.
That's our big
check
first project.
Things.
Yeah.
Well, and Lou Ann and I, your wife and I, go around complaining about the loose light switch covers.
Uh-huh.
You know, which in our house we had, and I couldn't understand it, the price of the house looks like they could tighten them up.
Well,
know?
One of them had a little crack beside it, and I couldn't even feel it, but she could see it. And every time she came in this room, she said, "I don't know why that light switch got in." She finally got some putty and filled it in. I couldn't even feel it. You know, I didn't know it was there. Go ahead, Shaw Boy. You had
all these homeowners' experiences,
yeah.
Huh?
You had something you wanted.
Yeah, I had a little deal to talk about here that you guys finish your handyman type work around the house and you're sitting around the computer and you're looking around and you're a JAWS screen reader person and you need some really good JAWS info that you need to find out, or you have just a question about JAWS, or the list moderator Dave Farron has started a new JAWS list.
He has, hasn't he?
And it's a great list. There's a lot of good JAWS information that comes across. A lot of good info there. He can talk about, you can talk about JAWS scripts, what programs JAWS is compatible with or not compatible with, as the case may be. Just anything pertaining to JAWS and
all right,
things that you may want to do with JAWS. And if you want to join this list, just send a blank email to JAWS _ users _subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
JAWS users.
JAWS _ users.
_subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
At yahoogroups.com.
And this is opposed to, I was on a JAWS list one time that generated probably 500 messages a day.
That's,
it was way more than you could read. It needed to be divided. It needed to be categorized. It was just overwhelming information about JAWS.
That's one reason Dave started this list. You know, Dave, he'll keep a type ship there running, and he'll stay on topic. And
if you vary off topic, just, Dave will come to your home and kick your ass.
I have a question for you, Don. And I won't write to the list because I may be off topic and Dave would probably X me. Yeah. Anyway, you gave us the link to the iSoft, iZoom.
iZoom, right? Yeah.
And that is an exceptional program.
It is.
It will do everything, in my opinion, while not, maybe not as elaborate. I don't want to get tell people wrong, but Zoom text cost, you know, $300.
Yeah,
iZoom does it for nothing.
For nada.
Zilch. So what I was talking to
built into XP or what?
No, it's just it was a free soft shareware that Don Shaw pointed Emily and I. We have one student using it now. And my question is about the JAWS thing. Is there any equivalent to JAWS out there?
Not that I know of at this time.
You mean that's just free screen reader?
That's free, like...
Apple Computer, you know, has got their, supposedly, a screen reader built into it, but I understand it's okay, but not as good at this time.
Well, I mean, and I know there are a lot of more JAWS users than there are screen reader, I mean, just magnifiers.
Yeah.
But this program that you put us on to is great.
It is for a magnifying program.
Not to knock WindowEyes. I think WindowEyes is, I use JAWS, but I would just soon use WindowEyes.
Yeah.
It's just as good.
Yeah, WindowEyes is a great program.
Better.
I was just wondering, was there any equivalent? I mean, we were talking about the Cadillac of magnification program, which is Zoom Text. And now this iZoom is completely free, and so.
Well, I want to know, just a quick question, does anybody know about a bookport list? If you do, email me, phil@philpar.net. Bookport list.
I think there is one.
A bookport list. phil@philpar.net. I need to be on a bookport list. I'm having a problem with it, and someone needs to help me. It's always in do. Always needing help. Oh, it's almost Halloween, isn't it, huh?
Almost
Halloween. Well, we have decided to take the month of December off, but we'll tell you more about that later. And this is show 138, so we got two or three more to do, don't we?
We do.
I think we do deal next week, next time.
Cooking in the Dark next week.
Next Tuesday's Cooking in the Dark.
Cooking in the Dark.
Cooking in the Dark. We will come rejoicing. Cooking in the Dark. I'm sorry. We're going. Thank you, Tom Houston.
Yes, sir.
Don Shaw, Don Patterson.
Go Astros.
Go Astros. We'll see you next Tuesday. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.